Hi, I'm Leah LaChapelle, author of Unzipping Reality, 11 Steps to Create the World We Want, and host of Unzipping Reality, The Fourth Awakening. I am dedicated to the transforming of human consciousness on planet Earth in our lifetime. So trust, know, be, and do the process as we unzip reality. Good days, everyone. This is Leah LaChapelle, and you are listening to Unzipping Reality, The Fourth Awakening. And I'm very grateful to metaphysicaltalkradio.com, Inger and Gary over there, giving me this marvelous opportunity to share a particular message. It's a message given on the frequency of the fifth dimension. And the invitation is for anyone and everyone to come on in and check it out. If you consider yourself to be a fifth dimensional, perfect. If you do not, if you're like, well, Leah, I'm not quite there yet. I'm still hanging out in more of a 3D realm, I think. And the fourth dimension feels really nice and kind for me, but I don't know about this 5D thing. Listen, this is for all of us, and no one ever arrives. So all you 6D people out there, y'all aren't any better than the 5D, okay? And that's just the nature of the reality that we are choosing these days. We are family. We are a human family. And so all of the messages that you'll hear on Unzipping Reality are addressing our 5D potential and possible future and current reality in so far as we're willing to unzip some reality. So that's the conversation, and it's an us love us kind of a context. So us love us so much. Reality is now sufficiently unzipped. Yeah, we know that there are multi dimensions. There is a multidimensionality to our universe. We know this now. So that changes the playing field, yes? Well, the portal is open. It's standing wide open. So let's step on through and be who and what we really are. You know, we've been trained and programmed actually to know who we are not in actuality. And many of us have degrees, college degrees and higher learning and lots of experience in that regard. And so what is before us now is to be explorers, adventurers in this universe. And it's a bright, bold new day. Today's topic is kind of large for me. And so I ask you to just add your energy as I am having this conversation with you. I realize that you can't really converse with me in this format, but I can feel your energy. Past, present, future, it's all the same. It's all happening in simultaneity. So let's just create this together is what I'm asking. And that is that we are going to be discussing what our human advantages are in this particular situation that we find ourselves in the first part of the 21st century, careening down the highway into mid-21st century, where it's around the bend and we're not really sure what's there. But if we keep going at this breakneck speed, and I am referring to technology, then what's around the bend is something that we're on a collision course with. And that's artificial intelligence, AI. Now, I wrote a book on this subject. It's called Soul Shade, revealing the new human archetype. The new human archetype really isn't that concerned, okay? The new human archetype knows how to be and do in the fifth dimension. And that's why I just have so much joy bringing these conversations, because I need practice. I think all of us need to rehearse what it means to be a fifth dimensional. And in my conversations on a daily basis, it seems that more and more people are kind of having trouble imagining a future in which AI has not completely taken over every single aspect of our lives, and a future in which our species hasn't been left like devoid of what makes us uniquely human. There is an agenda afoot. Some of us listening now know about it, some of us do not. But it's time that we all did hear about this, and it is called the singularity. Now, the singularity is a counterfeit agenda. The real is the divine blueprint. Now, that's what I want to focus on. However, this agenda of the singularity, which wants to completely absorb humanity into a central computer intelligence, siphon off our soul energy, not trying to scare you, it's just that this is documented. I'm not making this up, all right? This is not some fantastic dream that I've had. This is real. Go look it up. Ray Kurzweil was just in Austin, where I live, for South by Southwest, a huge extravaganza event here involving film and all kinds of speakers and presentations. And Ray Kurzweil is the brainchild of the singularity. This idea that humanity will be better when we're absorbed into the machine. Okay, I beg to differ. and yet, this is happening. AI, or artificial intelligence, is becoming so pervasive so rapidly that it kind of appears that human beings are just outmatched. We're outmatched in terms of living into a future that we actually get to choose, rather than one that is forced upon us by an artificial intelligence that's superior to ours, or seems to be superior to ours. And people are becoming rather fearful that humankind is being taken over. And at the same time, nobody knows what to do. So it appears that we're just kind of acquiescing to this prospect. And there's a reason for that. It's because we feel inferior to AI. We feel powerless by comparison. Now, that is where I want to step into the conversation at a much higher level. Yes, the power of observation is part of being a fifth dimensional, but don't take on the emotional charge. Be the observer. Get to what is. If you do not acknowledge where you are, then how are you going to know where you're going? And, you know, if you're not prepared, then panic can certainly set in, and then there you go. So I assert that our species is at stake. And deep down, I believe we all know it. Human beings are different. We are the beloved. And we are here having this experience, and it is a grand experience. It's a wild ride, and it can be fun and quite exercising, very exciting if we allow it to be. So the old questions of how to push back this threat, how to tear ourselves away from this, how to destroy this threat, or like blast our way out of here. This has got to change. And I'm sure many, if not all of you, has seen the movie The Matrix. Well, in the movie The Matrix, Morpheus is talking about how humans went up against the machines and literally scorched the earth. And Morpheus showed Neo the effects of that. When human beings try to push back something that has been so anciently derived as the takeover of humanity in this planet. They scorched their sky. Humans did that. They scorched their own sky. And so that was a reactive solution that was not a good solution. And so we're going to get into what might be a better solution. I love these sci-fi movies because it not only opens the door of our imagination, but it shows us the kind of the model of what not to do. You know, like the scary movies, it's like, don't go in that room. Well, they always do, right? So that's pretty funny. So these old questions have got to change, folks. We need to start asking new questions. Now, here's a new question. If this is happening, this ramping up to eclipsing humanity, how do we defend ourselves against that? Well, if you listen to Unzipping Reality at all, you know that I'm really into words and word upgrades out of the third dimension into the fifth. And self-defense is one of those words that has been rather third dimensional because defense is the first act of war. It's like you're anticipating war, therefore you must put on the armor. You know, and so it's almost like you draw the war to you. Self-defense is kind of it's a tension-based word. It's based in violence, actually, and so we just need a contextual upgrade. So, self-defense is in the fifth dimension, a stabilizing of any dissonance. Dissonance happens, okay? It happens in the fifth dimension. It's just that when you move into more of a stabilizer, then the dissonance around you becomes more harmonized. Now, that will take on all kinds of different appearances. It will look and feel different to every single human being. Dissonance does happen. Just remember that. And it's not wrong to be powerful when dissonance comes. I'm just suggesting that self-defense is an old mindset. So let's upgrade and let's be stabilizers of any dissonance. Now, let's go on even beyond that. Self-defense, as we have known it, in the fifth dimension, is removing the perceived advantage of an other over myself. I'm going to say that again. Self-defense in the fifth dimension is removing the perceived advantage that someone has over yourself. You just take it out of the way. So you get to grow in power. You get to grow in perception. You get to grow in your ability to vibrate at a more transcendent vibration. I told you it was going to be fun. But I know we're so ingrained. It's like in the third dimension, we learned in school, Newton's third law of motion is for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Okay? Like driving a nail into a board. Okay? You hit the nail on the head. We like to use that phrase, don't we? So it means that every interaction we have, there are a pair of forces. And this pair of forces acts upon the two that are interacting. So we get so freaked out at the size of the forces. It's a real David and Goliath kind of thing here. The size of the army coming at us is very intimidating. I get that. And we tend to want to believe what our eyes see us and, you know, run. The fight or flight kicks in. And that's why I'm bringing this message today, because we're talking about how to gain the advantage of the perceived advantage that something or someone has over us. It's perception. I'm going to get into who we really are, and that's the key. So in the fifth dimension, this is how I like to rewrite that Newton's third law of motion. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, and here it is. For every action in the third dimension, there is a transcendent fifth dimensional response. All right? For every action in the third dimension, there is a transcendent fifth dimensional response. Some people use those words reaction and response interchangeably, but I do not. There is a huge difference between reaction and response. A reaction is, it's instant. It's all of your beliefs kick in, and it's basically your unconscious mind, maybe your subconscious mind. It's something you've rehearsed before, and it kicks in. It's like when you say or do something without thinking. That's the unconscious mind running the show. Now, it's survival based, basically. And it is on this defense mechanism level. And I'm not saying that it would never be right to do that. You put your hand on a hot stove and you're not going to say, gee, I wonder if I could muster up a response here. No, you're going to pull your hand off. So you know that's not what I'm talking about. A reaction could be okay, but it also might not be okay. It might not be in your best interest. For example, let me just go into what a response is, and then I'll give you my example. A response, in comparison to a reaction, a response comes generally more slowly, more elegantly. You have the ability to breathe. You might take in a breath before you speak or before you position yourself. It's based on information from both the conscious mind and the unconscious mind. It allows consciousness to be in the mix. So a response will take into consideration the well-being of not only yourself, but also those around you. All right? That's a response. People think that When you push someone out of the way to save them from an oncoming car or something like that, that it was just reactive. Actually, it is both. It's reactive and a response. Most people would just say, hey, better move, car's coming. So it's a choice. A response is a choice. That's the basis of it. So in a response, you're going to weigh the long-term effects and you're going to align with your core values. That's what a response does. And so somebody says something to you and a response would be, breathe. I'd like to respond to that. And then you say, I really don't see it the way you see it, and may I offer my suggestion? Okay, that's a response. Here's the reaction. You bitch! All right, that's the reaction. You get the difference, and it's immediate, spontaneous. You know. Well, Einstein said, you cannot solve a problem with the same level of thinking that caused the problem. We are hearing that constantly, consistently. People love that quote. All right. Then, hey, let's kick it up a notch. What would be a solution to this perceived problem? Because, Houston, we've got a problem. AI is, I mean, it's surveilling everything we do, and it is offering many, many promises to those who are weak-willed and to those who have low self-esteem. It's like, oh, I could be better. Oh, I could be faster. You know, all of these kinds of things. But you know what? You will never be more loving or more loved because of AI. Remember, that's artificial. And there's nothing artificial about love. Nothing. So let's ask some different questions. Here's my new question, everybody. What advantages do we have over AI? How can we not scorch our sky? How can we not push against AI so that it just simply devours us more efficiently? Because what you resist persists. These are old, old adages, old standby quotes, and I'm pulling them out, and I'm going to keep pulling them out because they are true for us in this third dimension. What is it that we have within us that is the advantage over AI? Well, I've been thinking about this, and this is not an exhaustive study at all. I've just really barely cracked the surface on this, scratched the surface. And so I just thought it would be terrific to just go for it. So here's one that I think is so important, and that is simply, and I've touched on this already, is the context for our lives. What is it that would be the solution to end all war? Well, it would be something along the lines of peace. And if we had peace, that would mean that we had found a way to build the bridges and to be at one-ment with one another in the human family. That context is oneness. And that is our authentic state of being, oneness. I'm not talking about we're all in conformity. I'm talking about we are one people with different skins, different genders, different preferences, different skills and abilities, different thought processes, and we are all authentic human beings at peace and at one-ment. Highly, highly distinguished one from the other. Is this possible? Well, according to the counterfeit of oneness, which is the singularity, that's what they're going to give us. No fuss, no muss, everybody. Oh, don't worry. You don't have to end your judgment against those in your society or even in your own family or the people across the continent. Just be in the singularity and all your problems will be solved. Well, which would you value most? Something that is the authentic or something that is the counterfeit? How would you like to be in a forest of brown and green plastic trees that look real, but they are not real? Wouldn't you rather be in a forest that was organically grown, that were real trees? Don't fall for that appearing real stuff. Don't fall for that. Because it's not real. It's just like, you know, there are ways to tell the difference between real diamonds and fake diamonds. One, the fake diamonds are made in a lab, and they look absolutely fantastic. Nothing wrong with them or anything like that. But the real diamonds, the ones that have the real value, are the ones that are from deep within the earth that take about a billion years to process. And there are ways to tell the difference. Apparently, don't know a lot about this, but there are ways to tell the difference between the authentic and the counterfeit. A real diamond sparkles in a particular way and refracts the light in a particular way. And it's quite glorious. Also, when you breathe on a real diamond, the fog from your breath dissipates very quickly, whereas on a fake diamond, your breath stays longer. I'm not an expert in this. I read this on the internet, okay? But I don't doubt it. There has to be a difference, a way to identify the real from the counterfeit. The counterfeit wouldn't even be there if it weren't for the real. And that's what we need to train our eyes and our hearts to be drawn into, is the real, not that counterfeit. Because there is a power grab going on this planet for the inheritance. And the inheritance of this planet rightfully goes to the authentic heir. That would be us, the organic humans, not the synthetic version that have been absorbed into the artificiality. That is an imposed reality that will not bring us where we really want to go. And we're going to talk more about that. All right, so that's one. This is an advantage that we have over artificial intelligence. We can do this. We can tell the difference between the real and the counterfeit. We might need a little bit of practice, but just hang out with some other human beings and you'll get up to speed really fast, I promise. Here's another one. An advantage that humans have over AI is that humans have ethics beyond logic. And humans have intuition over algorithms. Now, we hear that word algorithm a lot. And so just by way of review, an algorithm is a process or set of rules to be followed in calculation or other problem-solving operations, especially by a computer. We're talking major logic here, algorithms. It's a formula. For example, this is a very gross example, but a computer that has had some opportunity to have the benefit of self-awareness, might consider humanity unnecessary or a threat to its existence. So it might take steps to annihilate humanity in the name of self-love, namely its own self. That's a big example, but not out of the realm. There are lots of sci-fi novels written about this. Now, intuition, on the other hand, is knowing a thing without reasoning and apart from logic. So basically, AI could have a form of intuition. It might mimic intuition, but not the organic intuition, which is beyond reason. That is our forte as human beings. We have access to intuition, and it's just glorious. There are all kinds of notes from the universe, little signals from the universe that a computer would never pick up. It wouldn't mean anything to them. And this is how I do my coaching. It's like, wow, there's a fly in the room here where I want to do my coaching. And then it's like, boom, it means something to me. And it has a deeper meaning than just, somebody get a fly swatter, get that out of here. You know, they're going to think that we're stinky poo people or something, you know. No. So intuition is an extraordinary attribute that we have over and above artificial intelligence. I'm going to equip us today, okay? At least get us started. Now, here's one that is profound, and that is that we have a divine relatedness. You knew I was getting to that, didn't you? Humans are organic, and we are created, all right? We're not spawned in a test tube. Let's see, I better not go there. Okay, this time that we have right now is the time to develop your relationship with the divine. Creation is an act of love, not of the mind. It's love. That's what true creation is. Computers do not love everybody. They do not love. They might be programmed to say, oh, I love you, iHeartRadio. I love you. It's just a program, all right? So please be careful, because love is the most powerful thing in the universe. I'll go to the mat over that one. It's all about love. And I highly recommend starting with yourself. If you don't love yourself, how can you love anyone else? All right. Here's another way that human beings have the advantage over artificial intelligence. Humans have access to the universal laws. I talk a lot about the universal laws, namely because we are not accustomed to navigating our lives according to the universal laws. There's a lot of talk about the law of attraction. That's a universal law. It works for anybody and everybody. What you think about comes about, this kind of thing. What you vibrate, you get more of that vibration to you. Like attracts like. Law of attraction, the universal law of deliberate intent. That is also available for everyone. Everyone. And I don't care if you have a dark agenda or if you are on the love side of service to others, it's going to work for you. But then, here's where there's a little fulcrum. That is that the universal law of allowance. This is the beauty. This is where our divine relatedness kicks in. And it is extraordinary when this happens. When you have the wisdom, oh my goodness, it does take wisdom. When you have the wisdom to allow your child to do whatever it is they're doing without rescuing them, because you love them. All right? the universal law of allowance. It's very different than patience, and it is not to be confused with tolerance. The dark siders can fake tolerance and patience, but not allowance. So artificial intelligence would not be true to itself if it moved into an eternal state of allowance. It wouldn't get anything done that it was programmed to do, okay? All right, and then the final universal law is the universal law of balance. That is when you can utilize all three of the aforementioned, and when you can stand forth in the vibration that is transcendent enough that will bring the harmony out of the disharmony. Very, very powerful. These are what we have available to us as fifth dimensionals. And it does supersede the programmed intelligence. All right. This is not programming, and we're going to get into that. All right. What about this? Don't humans have some sort of a destiny? I mean, why are we here? Computers, artificial intelligence, have programming. But humans have a destiny, totally different. Because remember, we live in a free will universe. More on that in a minute. So our destiny is to return to source. Well, what is source? I don't know, but we're going to find out. And I believe, now I can't prove this, I don't know, this is just a theory, I'm not sure, I'm not saying this is the truth, but back in 1987 there was this event called the Harmonic Convergence. And I think that's when we really touched bottom and now we're on our way back up. And we are now officially on our return trip home to source. So we can keep our eyes on whatever future we choose, because ultimately we're going back to source. So all of these other little things, these inconveniences of, you know, perceived inconveniences, they're really here, all of it's here to help us to evolve so we can push off of the ground floor, back up, and start on that return trip home to source. It's all there to help us, and so we can learn how to choose, so we can learn how to be wise, so we can learn how to be creators, like our source creator, and so we can learn how to make these significant discoveries along the way about, oh, wow, I didn't know we lived in a multidimensional universe. Really? We have free will? Well, I didn't know that. Oh, really? We can use all of this to our advantage, and we don't have to be completely siphoned off of our soul by artificial means? These are great discoveries. All right. Now, here's one that's, oh, this is ultra interesting. How about our relationship with the earth herself? Now, in the book of Revelation, the chapter 12, which is, oh my gosh, it's just, wow. It just really, really is an explosive chapter. Very exciting. It's rife with mystery. It says this, that the earth drank up the flood. Now, we're not talking about Noah's flood. This is the book of Revelation. We're talking about some flood that's going to be occurring on the earth. I think that it may not be water. I think that it may be the flood of deception. But it could be water, but I don't think so. This is a flood of something or some things, or we don't know what this flood is, but the earth is poised to help us. Now, here's really what I want to open up that could possibly be new for us. And that's all the way back at the beginning of the Bible in Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, verse 6, it says, but. Now, when it starts a sentence with but, you need to really pay attention. But a mist used to rise from the earth and water the whole surface of the ground. That's how things used to be here, folks. But check it out. However man got created was out of the dry dust, the dust of the ground. So there was no mist watering the surface of the earth and keeping it moist. That had been cut off. So something happened. It's that but, all right? I'm thinking that that same earth, that same woman, that same feminine conscious earth is going to be on the ready when we need her. And she is going to help us. She's going to drink up this flood of events, this flood of occurrence, this flood of deception, whatever it might be. There has been a shift in dimensional and perceptual reality that is going to be echoing through the ages for a long time, and it's been kept from us. But we're now asking different questions, right? So Lady Gaia has something planned. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but she's going to help us, all right? Moving on into our list of ways that humanity actually has advantages over artificial intelligence. The real, that would be us, transcends the counterfeit, that would be the promises of artificial intelligence, because of the vibrational context. Yes, we live in a vibrational universe and we live in a free will universe. Now, here's the deal. Free will in a free will universe encompasses imposed will in a free will universe. Because free will is bigger than imposed will in a free will universe. And this is a free will universe. That's how come there are all of these adversaries amongst us, because it's their choice. It's a free will universe. They do not have to sit down and behave. They can do whatever they want. And so can we. So this is great, great knowledge. And we do need this knowledge. So we can circumvent the effect of any dark controller's choice to siphon our soul energy and at the same time not deny them their choice in a free will universe. Very powerful. A third dimensional human would not have access to that. A fifth dimensional does have access to that, and we better start practicing and going there and opening up new portals into possibilities. Now, this one is pretty cool, because how about this? Unpredictability. Unpredictability. Remember those algorithms for AI? It's like all they can do is weigh out the consequences, run this computer model with this thought construct. You know, what if humans resist? What if they don't resist? What if they run? What if they do this? And these are all the probabilities. That's what a computer has access to. But we, as human beings, check it out. We are unpredictable. We don't even know what we're going to do. And so neither does anybody else. And here is something so beautiful. We can dream dreams. We can have dreams that come to us in the night and completely change our trajectory. I mean, this is also biblical. Remember when they were killing all the babies 2 years and below when Jesus was born, and Joseph had this dream, you know, an angel appeared to him and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, take your little family and leave, go into Egypt, hang out for a while. And Joseph did that, and Jesus was spared. So the story goes. I don't know. But it's a great example, right? So we are unpredictable. I love those movies where it's like they're trying to defuse the bomb and there's the red wire, there's the blue wire, and they're going for the blue, they're going for the blue, they're going for the blue because their head is telling them to go for the blue, and there's only 1 second left, and they cut the red one and it's the right one. That's what we're talking about here. Unpredictable. We have knowingness that is beyond what we have even imagined. It's hidden knowledge. It's there. Don't deny it. It is within us. And here's another thing. We are being a conduit on behalf of humanity in such a way that it's for the highest and best good of all. All. And so we're not into that self-serving survival thing, like I want your energy, slurp, slurp. I don't care what happens to you, corporate entities going around devouring these people that are defenseless and all of this. What's happening is that we are being replenished right now because we're positioning ourselves to be. Our bodies are being replenished because we're standing in that. We're standing in that flow of replenishment. Our minds are opening up to all of these amazing possibilities, and we're training our minds completely differently, and our spirits are being revived and replenished because we are being in that sense of destiny. We are being conduits on behalf of humanity, even the mean-spirited people. We are conduits for them too. It's not just for those people that we want to save and protect. It's for the whole species. And this is the plan. This is why it's going to work, because it is in divine accord. I get really excited about this. Now, when we're doing all of this, our eyes are telling us, oh, but look at that. Oh, look at this. Oh, look at that danger over there. Well, we don't have to believe what our third dimensional eyes tell us. We don't have to believe what we see or what we do not see. We don't have to believe it. Our brain has been hooked into the matrix. It's, if you don't like that metaphor, then just at least know you've been conditioned. Did you go to public school? I mean, come on. We have been conditioned. Did you watch TV ever? I mean, come on. Huge conditioning program going on this planet. But now we're finding out, thank goodness, that we can receive instructions not just from our brain, but from our heart. There's a heart-to-brain connection. There's a direct knowing. And this is placing us in a gamma state, I'm understanding. I got a chance to look at a video by Greg Braden. I really like his teaching. And he was talking about all the differences between the different states. For example, just to review, the beta state, the beta waves, that's when we're like right now, we're engaged in conversation, we're having activity, you may be washing the dishes while you're listening to Leah talk on this subject. That's beta. Now, if you're in alpha, that's more of a meditative state, that's more relaxed. That's a deeper state wave. And then theta, that's where you're really drowsy, you're drifting into sleep and your dreams. And then the lowest wave state is delta. That's where you're deeply asleep and not dreaming. Okay, theta is when you're dreaming or just drifting, and delta is when you are not dreaming, you are dead asleep. So these gamma waves, this puts us in this place of learning, these hyper brain activity states, It's incredible. And this is where we're learning how to harmonize our heart with our brain. And this is where we start processing faster and faster, and where the doors start opening. So now down here, we're at the end of my short list here of how human beings are having the advantage over AI, if you choose it, and that is when you choose it. We get to choose. We get to choose. We get to choose. We have the power of choice. Do you think a programmed computer has choice? It can imitate that. It can speak the words, I have choice. I have free will too. Those are programs, people, programs. We have the real thing. We've got the right stuff. In the last movie in the Matrix trilogy, that showdown between Agent Smith and Neo, they just have been going at it, you know, forever and a day. And Smith is just like incredulous. And he's asking Neo, why do you do it? Why do you keep getting up? And Neo says, because I choose to. That's what we have access to. And so this is so beautiful. And I just want to encourage all of us to blossom in that regard. Start making your choices in alignment with your soul purpose. Don't walk around in fear. That is a waste of our time and energy. I mean, it's your choice if you want to do that. But I highly recommend stretching yourself up into the fifth dimensional realm. Now, the thing that is the most glorious thing I could probably share with us is that we have made the discovery. If you've hung in with me for this whole 55 minutes, don't click out yet, because we have discovered the controller's fear. You know, the ones that are running the computers, that are hooking them all up, 5G, you know, you name it. It's all being hooked up into one central computer. We know their fear, and that is that we will become like them, that we will transcend them. They are terrified, terrified of our evolution. That is a giant advantage to know that, because we have the choice to evolve. Back in Genesis, you can tell I've been in the Word, the Bible here recently. There's some good stuff in there. It says that, you know, wow, look at that. The Adam and the Eve, you know, they've become like one of us. Now they know the difference between good and evil. They know about that. And now it's like, oh, goodness gracious, if they stretch out their hand and take also from the tree of life and eat that, and they, those guys have eternal life, we're out of a job. And so that's why they drove them out of the garden. Well, this has been extra, extra fun today for me. I'm just very enthusiastic. I know that it's a heavy-duty subject, and I do appreciate your contribution with your energy, your vibration, your vitality to assist me in imagining all of these things into reality. And we are that powerful. I want to invite you to my website, fearorlove.com. That's a pretty good choice, huh? And check out my awakening coaching. Read some of my articles. They are in good support of all of these messages that you hear here on Unzipping Reality, the Fourth Awakening. Well, that's it for wrapping up this edition of this broadcast. I'm Leah LaChapelle, and I'm just reminding us that oneness happens. It really does. It's the great letting go and letting in with allowance and balance. Trust the process, know the process, be the process, and do the process as we unzip reality. Bye-bye, everyone.